Heavenly Father, again, we love you, God. We thank you for just your presence. God, we need more, God, of your Spirit. God, we pray for your glory to fall in this place now, God. God, we pray for your Spirit to move, God, to bring healing to our minds, to our hearts. God, would you bring just a word, God, that is full of the Spirit. Don't let your word return back empty. But we also pray for joy, God, in awakening our spirits, God, God, to your truth. God, we pray that your Spirit would lead us to Jesus. God, please come. God, help us to delight in you, God, and fulfill the longing for our hearts. We also pray, God, for those here who have become numb, God, to the joys of knowing you. And we just pray, God, for your Spirit just to quicken that. Oh, Lord, we pray for a quickening, God, of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in our final sermon on wisdom. Just in short, the end goal of wisdom has always been and always will be, the end of that goal of wisdom is Jesus Christ. And here's it. And the delighting in Jesus Christ. Do you remember the Westminster Catechism? Right? It says the chief end of man is to enjoy God and to glorify him, right? Forever. So if we find ourselves, right, not finding joy in our Christian walk, I would venture to say that there's plenty of room for wisdom. Matter of fact, if we lack wisdom, as we saw before, if we lack wisdom, we pray for wisdom. And here's the thing. I believe today, okay, and I believe this series, and I hope for you, that has been an answer to the longing in your heart. If you are a child of God, there is a longing in your heart. We might numb it, but it doesn't go away. There's a longing for you to know him. All right? There's a longing to be very intimate with him. I was listening to a song that my brother Steve, who is not here, he's picking up Chinese food in Manassas right now. All right? Taking one for the team. But we went to a Phil Wickham concert, and he is so well prepared. Oh my goodness. He had a couple of playlists, you know? And that man, I was just like, I really appreciate him. But anyway, there's a song, this is off the cuffs, I hope. Now, this is not going to be a 30-minute sermon, by the way. I just want to let you know it's the last one on this series. Okay, but it's by Torrin Wells, Crazy About You. If you haven't heard that song, I would say, you know, pick it up, listen to it. I was going to have you listen to it. A lot of times those things really don't work out. But take a look at it. I just felt I knew as soon as I heard that song that was a song where it has those potentials where the Spirit of God allows that song to be used where Jesus is just singing over you. You ever have that experience listening to Christian songs where God is just singing over you, you know? And you're just like, okay, you know? That's wisdom, though. You hear what I'm saying? That's wisdom. Now, I appreciate the rediscovery of things like that, rediscovery of Christian music, the power of songs. I love discovering that, because some of us, you know, we listen to Christian songs for a long time and we just lose faith, you know. It's like, it's like it's in the background. It's like background music. But just afresh, you know, just listening to how much Jesus loves you. And one of the lines in the lyrics, there is not a moment that he is not thinking about you. Even as I say it, I'm just kind of choking up. There is not a moment when you're not in his thoughts. Jesus is God. But you're on his mind all the time. Here's a God that just loves you. And here's a God that is every day, all day, knocking, waiting for you to answer that door. That's wisdom. Now, we have life, we're faced with series of decisions. Series of decisions. Now, some of the wisdom is that they're not always this one, oh, you know, should I, you know, be wasteful today or not be wasteful? Hopefully you have a conviction that puts that on a daily decision to like, no, I'm not going to, you know, watch TV all day. You know, like I hope we can park some of that. But here's, I'm going to read Psalm 111. So that's kind of we're going to hub around that, right? Around that chapter, okay? And then we'll go off, okay? Just to look at, finally, you know, what God wants to say, okay? Let's prepare our hearts for the reading of the Word of God. Praise the Lord, I will give thanks. Okay, so just the color coding, okay? The green is our response, okay? The blue is the wondrous works of God. This is just the works of God. The gray are the qualities or the character of God. Okay? So, you know, if you see green, it's like, oh, I'll probably talk about that because those are like action items, right? I praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work. And his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. So we are to praise God for his works and also for who he is. All right? So the psalmist is kind of laying out that argument, or the song, okay? And saying, this is why we're to praise him and thank him for his works. And because his works are and who he is, all the works stem from who he is. Everything he does not know how not to be righteous. And he is so smart, so good, and so sovereign, he causes even his wondrous works to be remembered. He's helping us out. The Lord, Yahweh, is gracious and merciful. Remember, gracious and merciful, because that's actually his name as well. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. Now, what we're reading, okay, when we hear him remembering his covenant forever, that means that God, in his innate nature, when he makes a covenant, he never breaks it, right? And what you're seeing is the Hebrew word. And I love the fact that the psalmist here doesn't say hesed. Hesed is the word steadfast love. Okay. It stems from God's covenant loyalty. God is loyal. When he says something, he's going to keep it forever. Right? Out of his love for, okay, you. He makes a covenant. And so he's saying hesed without saying hesed. We'll see the power of this. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works and giving them the inheritance of the nations. So God, you're his child. He's given you everything that is important or even valuable to God. He is bestowing that on his children because he has given us Jesus Christ, the most valuable and worthy, okay, of anything. The works of his hands are faithful and just. And I love that. I love the fact that God is just. People argue, and, you know, people say, oh, how can a loving God send people to hell, you know? And what people mean is God sends people to hell in the way that I imagine hell and the way I think about it, in an infinite line. I have no idea if what infinity and eternity, you know, no time, time going on. It's a mystery. But I can guarantee you this. In the end, when you see and you begin to comprehend, when you meet God face to face, what you're going to say is, God sent people to hell, and you're going to go, and when you fully understand everything, you're going to go, you know, that's fair. That's fair. That's just. You're not going to go, oh, God, I just don't get it, man. I don't know why you do, you know, punishment, hell, fire, you know, like on and on. You're going to go, yeah, no, I see it. I see it. That's fair. I love that.
God is just.
He's faithful. We don't have to water it down, and we don't have to try to make it what it's not. He's faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. And we're going to take a look at that little phrase, okay? He has commanded, a little bit later. He has commanded his covenant forever. He commanded it. He's commanding the faithfulness of his promise, the covenant that he made with you in Jesus Christ. He commanded it forever and ever. Now, that's a word, okay, that knows no time. It just is eternal. And then I love this. Holy and awesome is his name. And we're going to take a look at what that means. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, all of what we're saying is, all those action items, all the fireworks of the psalmist is describing what wisdom is. If you fear God, then you will praise him. If you fear God, you will be loved by his steadfast love. Usually when we think about fear, right, we're thinking about just cowering, right? No. It's wise to be loved. All those who, what? Practice it. Now, here's the thing. Wisdom, what it's not, is just knowledge. Wisdom is knowledge that is practiced. A lot of people know we should enjoy God, but not a lot of people enjoy God. Okay. And all those who practice it have a good understanding. Now, if it's lying dormant, I know I should do this, I know I should do that, and it's like dormant, that's not a good understanding. Wisdom is only gained in experience. His praise endures forever. So let's look at the first action. It says, give praise and thanksgiving. It says, praise the Lord, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright. We did that. We're doing that in the congregation. He remembers his covenant forever. He is Hesed. He says, he sent the word there. Okay, it's got a little, okay, shalak. It's a Hebrew word, means to dispatch, okay? It means to send out. So God is sending, he sent out, dispatched redemption to his people. Saying, Henry, I know you. Dispatch. He has commanded his covenant forever. I love knowing that. I love knowing that. In Psalm 107, okay, now it's more explicit though, right? That covenant faithfulness, that loyalty, that love. It says, right, in 107, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. I want you to fall in love with the word hesed, the steadfast love of the Lord. And it says, let the redeemed, remember how God dispatched redemption? Let the redeemed, not everybody, okay? It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Not everybody could praise and give thanks in all circumstances. You know that? Did you know that? For those who are in the Lord, say amen. Amen. All right. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Oh, I love that. There's a part that we play in all this, and we need to attend to it. Now, I need to explain, for many of you, I've already taught on this, so I'm going to just give a brief synopsis of what it means to be holy, what and how that is tied to his name and what it means to understand glory, because I think there's a fullness there. I know even if you heard it, I want you to kind of just listen to it afresh. Isaiah 6:1-3 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. Now this is Isaiah. He saw a vision of God. He was summoned to the throne of God in heaven. So Isaiah has been summoned to God. So now he has this vision. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim.
Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet. With two he flew, and one called to another, said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The word holy, okay, when you see it in Leviticus 10, I believe, it says that it means uncommon. More specifically, in the Hebrew, it means to be set apart. So it is because you are uncommon. If you are, let's say, you know, Tom Brady, you're the GOAT, greatest of all time, right? You are uncommon, you're set apart. That's kind of the idea, right? And when he commands you to be holy, he's commanding you not to be common. So for us to want to be like the world, to be successful like the world, want your child to be like the world, to succeed in the world in the same way as the world, is very common, but it is unholy. Now, when you say that God is holy, 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 okay, the qualities of God is set apart, and because it's repeated three times, there is nothing in Scripture that is repeated three times about the quality of God except His holiness. If God is anything, He is holy. He is uncommon. He is the GOAT. He is set apart. And He should not be mixed. It is absolutely, okay, outrageous to think that we could make God to be common. People died because they flippantly approached God. But notice it says, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his holiness. It doesn't say that. The glory of God is the manifestation of his holiness. So that means when God shares with you that he is holy, that's glory. If you get a glimpse that God is amazing, you just experience his holiness. That's glory. You experience the glory of God, which is the manifestation of his holiness. If you saw, oh my gosh, okay, and you just were in praise and you just experienced that love and it's nothing like you've ever experienced, you just experience, okay, the love of the Lord, the uncommon love of the Lord, you experienced his glory. When you experience, I remember when you experience a situation, you're like, oh my goodness. Like, I pray for this. I don't know how God did it. Okay. But he orchestrated, you know, X, Y, Z, A, B, C. And then all of a sudden he answered this prayer. I don't know how he did it. You experienced glory. Now, Exodus 34, Moses experienced a lot of the power of God, a lot of his power, parting of the Red Sea. But man, Moses had a heart that wanted to know God more than that. So Moses asked God, God, show me your glory. And this is what God says. He says, okay, you can't see my whole glory. First of all, you're not smart enough to see everything, okay? Or your brain probably will explode. But he said, well, if you just stand in the rock, I'm going to pass by and I will show you my glory. The backside of it, anyway. So we pick it up. It says, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. This is how God is showing Moses his glory, by what? Proclaiming his name. So showing glory equals proclaiming his name. And the name of God, here it is. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed. Now here's God saying his name. The Lord, Lord, our God, merciful and gracious. That's his name. Merciful and gracious. Slow to anger is his name. And it says abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And then here's the thing. He repeats it. Keeping steadfast love for thousands. He doesn't repeat steadfast love, the other qualities, but he repeats steadfast love. If God is anything, he's loyal. And you know what? A lot of times I know when we're going, I did this.
when you're going through some tough times, don't we question God? Don't we say, God, where are you? As if God is not loyal. If God is anything, he is loyal. He doesn't know how not to be loyal. He doesn't know how not to bless you. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. Now, here it says it. Here lays the conundrum, isn't it? God is forgiving, but he doesn't clear the guilty. That sets up the cross of Jesus Christ. God doesn't just say, God, just chill. Just give me your forgiveness. God can't do that. He doesn't clear the guilty. There has to be payment. Because God is just. God is anything. He is just. He doesn't just flippantly just say, okay, all right, let's just forget about it. He doesn't do that. Because he is fully just. Understanding that, the holiness of God, Jesus Christ is the glory of God. Embodied in Jesus Christ is everything about who God is. Why? Because what does Jesus say? If you have seen the Father, you have what? If you have seen me, you have what? Seen the Father. He is the exact representation. He is the glory of God. He is what represents the steadfast love of the Lord. That's why we sing about him. Second Corinthians 9:13 says, by their approval of this service, okay, this is talking about, you know, the Corinthians, Paul was urging the Corinthians to give to the Jerusalem church, all right, because obviously the Jerusalem church was very, very poor, okay, and going through a lot. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for others. But then he goes on. Right? What does he do? He directly attributes it. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. He's not talking about the offering to the Jerusalem church. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Inexpressible gift. It is so amazing. I don't even know how to say it fully. I can't fully express. There's a word in English called ineffable. The ineffable. It's just so indescribable. That's why, in fact, 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God. We saw in Psalms, right? He commands his covenant loyalty, doesn't it? It is the will of God, okay, to work faithfulness in all circumstances in Christ Jesus for you. He what? Dispatched redemption. He redeemed his people. Saying the same thing the psalmist is saying. Give thanks because God commands faithfulness to himself. Okay, number two. So number one, giving praise and thanksgiving in all circumstances because of Jesus Christ, because of who he is and what he represents. And then wisdom two, okay? Before we begin going, okay? Because we're going to talk about studying and remembering, and sometimes we've been all down that road. We come and it doesn't mean anything. We live joyless lives, okay? Here's a spec scan. We went to this men's conference. By the way, it was amazing. It was just an amazing conference. I would encourage you to go to the next one. This is not a Christian thing. This is Dr. Amen. Okay, he's a neuroscientist and doctor. This is from him. Okay, it was actually, I went to a workshop on digital addiction. And here's what happens to your brain on heroin. There are other pictures on marijuana, alcohol, addiction. And what's happening is this represents blood flow, okay, and activity. And on the right, okay, what we have here is your brain on porn. Okay, there's another picture on digital addiction. What it does is because digital addiction and porn, it releases so much dopamine. So much dopamine that your body has to respond by blocking it. And then you need more and more. So it's like a gateway before you know just a catalog picture might have done it, or, you know, you might just be doing email checks very frequently, but it's just getting worse. You're on YouTube all the time. You know, you're, and what's happening is you need more and more dopamine, but you have this incredible barrier that goes up, and it is a systemic barrier. It will block all joy. It is at the cause of a lot of what we call now a digital depression. So what's happening? Digital addiction. If you're a gamer, if you're wondering why you're not experiencing joy of the Lord, okay, part of it is just physiological. Because God works through our brains and physiology. If you don't get a lot of good sleep, are you going to experience joy of the Lord? I don't think so. I'm not saying it's impossible. It's not that God can't break through. Digital addiction. Okay, here's scientific evidence. It takes 6 weeks. Okay, to recover. They have 400 now centers in South Korea, very few here in the United States, because digital addiction is so rampant, right? 6 weeks being completely off of it, okay, to heal, to get back on the track of healing now. Porn, here's the bad news, 8 months. 8 months. Now, part of our, as we look at discipleship, we are going to endeavor in those areas. We're going to walk people through, okay? But if you're, that rejoice in the Lord always is a command. It is not a suggestion. But if you're going to get serious about enjoying God, you got to get serious about the things that block the joys of God. Now, let's look at, because why do we study so we can enjoy the Lord? Why do we remember? Why do we practice so we can enjoy the Lord? Psalm 111, it says, great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. You will not study the Word of God if you don't find it to be pleasurable. He has caused His wondrous works to be remembered. The point of the wondrous works is that we get to remember it, we get to recall it, we get to be nostalgic about it, we get to enjoy it again and again and again. That's why we sing about the cross all the time. It's meant to be. And there's all those who practice it have a good understanding. But we got to get serious about enjoying God, don't we? It is a serious business. But if you wonder, why do I not enjoy God? Why are other people enjoying God? But here in our worship service, I'm so numb. I don't really have joy. And I'm saying is, and here's what I'm not saying. People, by the way, I'm part of that recovery. Because there's just, I have too much digital, you know, activity. I mean, I'm not on social media and I don't watch YouTube all the time. But man, do I read so much news and, you know. I mean, it's like walking through, and I'm on Kindle. And here's, you know what, one of the things about digital addiction, he says it's not just the content, it's the medium. So he's saying, you know what, it's just, like if you're serious about getting better, you better go to paper books and not do everything on Kindle. And I'm just thinking, I'm just calculating how much money I spent on Kindle books. You know, but am I serious? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It says, whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. You want to be wise? Do something about it. Do something about digital addiction. Do something about porn. You know? And I'm not just saying that without providing any kind of solution. I am saying we're going to walk through this. Sexual integrity is important. And here's the, I want you to have hope, though. People are getting healed. And sometimes it doesn't take 8 months. I just talked to a brother. Okay? You know, it's like, I know he said 8 months, but you know what? God healed it, like, you know, in no time. He knows he's an odd one. But folks, we're going to lay hands on people to have their brain healed. If you ever read James, it says what? It says, confess your sins to one another so that you may be what? Healed. James was ahead of his time, wasn't he? Yes, he was. Amen. Right? But we, if we're serious about enjoying this life, and here's the added benefit, you get to enjoy your children. Because sometimes, folks, man, we don't enjoy our spouses. We don't enjoy our family. And what I'm saying is, man, you can enjoy people. And not just the easy people, you can even enjoy difficult people. You don't have to try to always avoid difficult people and just hang around the same people who doesn't bother you that much. When you have the joy of the Lord, you can dare so many different things. Christianity just opens up, doesn't it? It just opens up. And let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. You know, I get to get up, you know, and I get to just ponder as I pray and just say, Jesus, man, can you sing over me? Because every day I need Jesus to sing over me. You know what I'm saying? I need to pray and I just like adore him. I just need it. Because it's not that you love God. It's that he loves you. Oh, but wisdom. We need wisdom, don't we? And that's a good thing about wisdom is that if you lack it, you can pray for it. Oh God, let me attend to these things. Let me get serious about it, bringing joy back into my life. Colossians 3:16 says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you what? Richly. We've, you know, so many of us lost faith for that, didn't we? You know, we think you're so weird if the Word of God is just like popping up and you're getting excited about reading the Bible again. And I want you to understand, that can be you. I know you don't have faith for it, some of you. But let's get excited. Now, this is not a human thing. This is a Holy Spirit thing. But we got to attend to the matter. And we can teach and admonish one another in all what? Wisdom. Wisdom. It's wisdom. It takes wisdom for the Word of God to dwell in us richly. It doesn't take wisdom to check the block, I read the Bible today. It doesn't take wisdom for that. Oh, for the Word of God to just dwell in there richly? Proverbs 3:1. Here's a father speaking to his son, written by once a wise king, who soon forgot what true wisdom really was. But here's what he says. My son, do not forget my teaching. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. That's where he's going, right? Like immediately, steadfast love. Loyalty and covenant loyalty is super important to God. Our loyalty to one another. This is not vertical. He says, don't forget, you got to be loyal to your people. To loyal. And Yeshua says, bind them around your neck. That's external. Write them on the tablet of your heart. That's internal. Folks, I mean, you know, I learned from Ellen. She journals, you know, extensively. You know, and I was like, I appreciate, I'm picking up, you know, I used to journal, you know, when I was back in college, I used to love to journal. I had stacks of journaling books, and I don't know why. I threw them away. I would love to just go back. But bind them around your neck. You know, have you heard Jews, they have phylacteries, right? They put them on, it's like you insert the Word of God into these things like leather things, and they tie it around their arms and their heads and stuff, right, as commanded by Deuteronomy. External. You know, some people do post-its and put them up around your house, the Word of God. Do it. But then write them on the tablet of your heart. You know, I would encourage, I mean, you know, I got to get back to it. Even as I preach this sermon, like memorizing scripture, that, by the way, that's one of the healing ministries or steps to recovery from digital addiction, because you don't want to trade one addiction for another addiction. And I can tell you, when I quit smoking, I traded smoking for food. That could easily happen. But we're trying to, right? The joy of the Lord is what we're after.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Be not wise in your own eyes. I know that some of you are going to walk away and think, oh, you know what? I'm still going to go my way. I'm just going to go my way. And you can do that. You can be wise in your own eyes, okay? Because maybe it's not worth it for you to give up. And here's what I'm not saying too, and I understand. Last week I talked about giving up TV. I choked up a second time talking about that because TV for me was an incredible, incredible friend when I was young and didn't have a friend. And I don't know why you do what you do, and I don't know why the addictions are the addictions. But you know, God is not judging. He's not condemning. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God doesn't say, I will tell you one thing in all my life. And I've been a wreck of a person. I've never, ever felt condemned by Jesus. Never. Never felt condemned by him. But you know what we have? We have a high priest who understands why you are addicted. He understands that it's hard. Because you know why? Sometimes life, it's just so hard. But then we look at last week, when does temptation come? In our trials, when we're hurting. That's the enemy. They get you when you're down. They offer the easy solution, don't they? You know what? But here's the spirit that is in you is more powerful. More powerful, more amazing, okay, than what we can possibly face. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. And fearing the Lord is not, right? It is really just honoring the Lord. And I loved, you know, I think what Nate was putting up, count your days, right? I think it was Psalm 92. You know what? I hope to get up tomorrow and have a full day, if God wills. You know, when I went to the Phil Wickham concert a few days ago, I shared with you, right? When Gordon Ford came and he was saying, you know, that they hope to reach all the unengaged, unreached people groups, right? Matthew 24. The gospel will go to the ends of the earth as a testimony to the peoples, the people groups, right? And then the end will come. I said, Gordon Ford was just saying, hey, look, we hoped, because there's a map. If you go to Joshua Project, if you just Google it, you'll see the map of all the unengaged people groups. He says, we hope now to reach those people groups in less than 10 years. Then I was at the concert, and guess what? There's another organization. It's called Illumination. They're bringing all the organizations together that are translating the Bible, including Wycliffe Bible translators. And then they show all these different organizations. They're coming together. They're using new technologies, natural language processing, AI. It says, we thought that maybe in 150 years, we would translate the Bible and send it out to the ends, you know, ends of the earth, to all the people groups, 150 years. Now, we have adjusted that. We have adjusted that. We hope to reach everybody in less than 8 years. Less than 8 years. It is amazing. It's okay. You know, I said, why is that important? Aren't you only always supposed to be prepared? You know, if life is like running a race, your pace is different at the beginning of that race than when you're towards the end of that race, isn't it? Yeah, sometimes you might want to pick it up, you know? And it's just wise. It's wise to say, you know what? Let me not just kick the can down the road. And then it says, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Tend to these things. Do something about digital addiction. Turn away from it. Unfortunately, you know, it is going to be painful. I'm not going to lie to you. We will pray for healing. We will walk you through it. We will be there with you. But here's the thing. It's going to be hard. The last point, okay? Preach and pray the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15 says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and in which you stand, and by which you're being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you as of what? First importance. There's nothing more important than preaching the gospel to one another, but also to who? The gospel is not just preached to the unbelievers. Okay? The gospel is of first importance. We preach the gospel to ourselves. That's what remembering is, isn't it? When we remember the gospel, we remember everything about God. Everything that's important to know about God is in the gospel. And here's what it is. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. In that simple truth, in that historical event that we looked at so pointedly in walking through the Bible, right, this few minutes ago, lies the secret to life. Luke 22:19. And Jesus says it, actually. And he took bread when he had given thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, meaning do this in remembrance of me, he says, well, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. In Matthew 6, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The reason I read through, okay, the definition of holy, hallowed means holy be, right? It is a time for, when you pray, we need to spend time just recalling how amazing God is, how amazing his love is, just adoring God. But holy is a superlative, isn't it? It is a summarizing word for awesome, big, wondrous, most powerful, the most, the greatest. These are all getting at the uncommonness of God, his works, as well as his qualities. So when you say, hallowed be your name, what is God's name? Mercy, grace, and most importantly, steadfast love. So it is a time in prayer to first and foremost say, God, because your circumstances might be saying, you know, God might not love you. Your circumstances may be saying, you know what, I wish God would have done it a little differently. This is our time to say, God, do it exactly the way you're doing it. Oh, how great is your name. How wonderful your steadfast love. It is time for us to affirm what God is doing in your love. It is also a time to say, God, because you are so great, it is the basis for all your prayers. The greatness of God allows you to pray to a great God. The most loving, the most lovable God is why you're praying and without fear and condemnation. Hallowed be your name is the most. When you say hallowed be your name, I hope you take time to just break it up. Because God did that for Moses. Oh, you know, I am mercy, grace, steadfast love, right? Faithfulness, you know, justice. I mean, God broke it up. So, you don't have to just go, hallowed be your name, and just like, you know, break it up. Talk about his mercy. Talk about his justice when you think things are not fair. Talk about his grace especially. The point is, take time to pray the name of God and how amazing, awesome, great it is. How uncommon it is. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, hallowed be thy name. God, your Your love, your grace, your mercies are, they're so amazing, God. We can't even like begin to comprehend. So we need the Holy Spirit, God, to help us. So bring your Spirit to us and God, and just sing over us right now and help us to sing to you, God. And just would you open up the skies and shine your glory, God, upon us. In Jesus' name.